Tim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff, not by myself anymore.
Wendy hey, Bill, Snyder just has, to let yeah, you sure. know, we are still monitoring this Alvarez announcement. They are still going they're still going over all of the findings, but when we have something definitive and whether they're going to charge the police officer in the case, we'll let you know. But right now, they're still playing 911 tapes, going over maps. They're being very detailed about exactly what happened, so this could take a little bit.
Thank you, Kim. Eric Zorn is in studio with me, not just regular Eric Zorn, the irreplaceable Eric Zorn. And he just said to me, Kim, I know that we should be monitoring this, so keep your ear on it and let us know whenever anything big happens and we can go to a live feed.
Correct? We sure will.
Can you just quickly, I know you want to monitor it, but there have been no major surprises just yet, have there been?
No, not at this point. It's very detailed, very differently laid out to me than with the whole Laquan McDonald case. They are really covering every base. They are being very factual. They are detailing this up to the very, very, you know, nth degree. And they're not leaving any stone unturned. Whereas there are a lot of questions in the Laquan McDonald case, it appears to me with this case and the release of all the information, they are not leaving any stone unturned and are giving all the information out to the public.
All right, Kim, just let us know.
Does Eric? It sound so far as if she's going to press charges? Or
so far, no.
Wrong here?
I mean, so far, no, but, you know, you just never know.
It could change.
But it could change.
Because the attorneys for Ronald Johnson's family have said that this is every bit as bad as the Laquan McDonald
right.
shooting, and they haven't shown the video yet. That's correct, right?
Right. Right now, they released the 911 calls. Right now, they're showing a, looks like a graphic, a map of exactly where the cars came together, and, you know, they're going over exactly where the different cars were located, but so far have not seen the video.
All right, Kim, keep monitoring it and let us know. And if we need to break into the press conference once again, we will definitely do it. We appreciate it. First of all, hi. How are you? Everything good?
Well, we're right in the middle of the gears here in terms of the news. We were going to talk a little bit about what's going on and whether this video is as bad as has been previewed by the attorneys for, again, the young man who died. I mean, that's going to be
Johnson.
Huge. Yeah, Ronald Johnson III. The question is, If this video does show what the attorneys have said it's going to show, then, you know, this city's already kind of on the edge
yeah.
about police violence. If we find another incident that happened again about 13, 14 months ago, you know, this is bad.
It's two of these in such a short, and I know that the details are different, possibly dramatically different. We're finding that out right now. But just to have two instances like this in such a short span of time really is almost indefensible.
Well, and it's also in the context of some of these other shootings, you know, the Tamir Rice shooting in Cleveland
yeah.
and the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson and
yeah.
then the death in Baltimore. I mean, this was all in the context of this broader concern about police violence. So yeah, this is bad. And people are saying that, you know, Anita Alvarez's career is certainly in jeopardy. She's facing a primary challenge in March. And there's repeated calls for Mayor Emanuel to resign. That's
right.
not going to happen, but there are repeated calls for it. So,
I don't think it's going to happen. Originally, with the first video a couple of weeks ago with Laquan McDonald, that was the first thing out, is that somebody big, either the mayor or McCarthy or Alvarez, will no longer be working in a couple of weeks. It seemed to be a throwing under the bus of Gary McCarthy a little bit, didn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, he...
Nothing's better because Gary McCarthy isn't the superintendent of police anymore. It's just one of those things you have to make some sort of a move to say, look, we're doing stuff.
There was a story in the news today that I thought was very interesting, and it was Escalante, who's the superintendent. Interim acting superintendent.
Yeah.
And he's also, I believe, a candidate for the permanent job. But he said he's putting out a directive that – you know, one of the problems with the videos in the Laquan McDonald case is that there's no audio.
Right.
And so evidently either the officers put the batteries in their microphones wrong or the systems weren't working or whatever. And so Escalante, the interim superintendent, put out a directive to make sure when you get into your car that the audio and video are working. Otherwise, it's a disciplinary offense.
Yeah.
And my thought to that was, well, okay, fine, but why didn't Superintendent McCarthy say this a year ago?
Right.
Because
right.
they knew. They had those videos. They had this video without any audio in it a year ago.
Right.
What was McCarthy doing? Where was the concern about that then? And, you know, that's among the things that makes you think, well, maybe things are better that he's gone. Maybe this is a beginning of a turning of a page of some sort that they really have to get their hands around this problem. So
the more disturbing video element is the Burger King video, which really seems to have been doctored in some way, doesn't it? It's just impossible that somehow there's that much missing time on a surveillance video.
There is, what is it, 86 minutes is missing from, and it starts, you know, about half an hour before the event.
It's at a very convenient time.
It's at a very convenient time, and of course the explanation that we're getting from defenders of the police is that, well, this system was not working very well in general. And, you know, I don't think that adds up.
Mm-hmm.
If you run one of these franchise restaurants, especially mm-hmm. in an area where that's high crime, and you've got a video system, a security video system there that's not working very well,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge problem. It's a huge problem for the chain, and it's a huge problem for the individual store. If one of your employees is killed in a holdup or beaten up in a holdup, and you go, well, we have a video system, but it wasn't working, you are not only morally culpable
right.
for that, but there's a huge financial penalty that would incur. I want to see the evidence that there are like all these gaps going back
right.
before and after the system just didn't work that well. It just happened not to work at this one
There's
time.
A manager at that Burger King who has said, oh, no, believe me when I tell you, that system works like a charm.
Well,
it's just this one particular time.
I haven't seen him interviewed, so I'm not sure about that. But I do know that just as a matter of common practice, these stores don't just go, oh, our video system, it works sometimes, it doesn't
right.
work. They're there for a reason, so it doesn't really pass the smell test, and the fact that it's the gap is right there. Now the question would be, what does that video show? Because it's not the cameras weren't pointed at the actual shooting of Laquan McDonald.
Right.
It happened a blocker and block and a half away from there.
Right.
So the question is, what would that show? What would they want to get rid of? And the only thing that I can think of would be the supplementary allegation here that the police on the scene were shooing away witnesses. They weren't taking witness statements.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't getting names, addresses, phone numbers of witnesses to this incident.
Mm-hmm.
They were telling them to go move along. There's nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
And there may have been some element of that. People going into the Burger King, officers going in there and shooing people away. That could be part of what's going on here. Other than that, it's hard to figure what would be on that video that would be worth erasing. So,
if you were a police officer, and we can take either of these two cases, the Ronald Johnson case, the Laquan McDonald case, if you're a police officer and your partner does something like the shootings, do you testify against them? I know that there's a brotherhood of police, and again, I know that this is one of the toughest, most stressful jobs that there is, but do you put somebody, do you take a friendship and just cast it aside, a partnership and cast it aside, and tell the truth if you're called to testify or not?
Well, I like to think that I do. Always people are saying, well, you know, most police officers, 90% of police officers are honest.
I bet a lot higher than that.
But look at the random sample we had at this scene here.
Right.
And one of the things is, it's very troubling, not surprising, but very troubling. If you look at the police reports and what happened on Friday night after you'd gone home and I'd gone home, some of my friends said they were working here until 12:30 at night. They did a document dump on us. They took all the police reports and gave them to the media at, I think it was like 6 o'clock or something like that. It was very late. And essentially it showed that all the officers on the scene who wrote up their reports somehow came up with the same story that Officer Van Dyke told, which is that Laquan McDonald was threatening him and lunging at him and gesturing at him, things that are completely proven false by this video. I mean,
right.
It's not, there is no nuance in that video. We've all seen it a whole bunch of times. McDonald has a gun, has a short knife in his right hand.
Yeah.
And that's not insignificant, but he's moving away from the police officer. He's moving at an angle away from the police officers who opened fire on him. The police officer's report says just the opposite, that the officer says he's backpedaling and McDonald is advancing on him. It's a complete lie.
Right.
This is not a matter of interpretation. The video is there. And yet all the other officers on the scene, when they're writing up their reports, those who claim to have seen the incident, are saying things like, well, he was getting, it looked like he might be getting up to attack again, and that's why he had to keep shooting. I mean, how does that happen?
Right.
How does that, I have not heard yet from any defenders of police officers, how does an entire group of them all come up with the same story? And why do they do that? Why don't they just say, look, this is what I saw, and write it down what you saw, and then let the chips fall where they may? It's not like It's I don't know, it's
frustrating.
It's very frustrating, and you say and it does make you question this assertion. Like, well, most police officers are honest,
right?
Most of them are honest. Well, you have this random sample again of police officers who showed up on this scene, and they all lied. So, what does that tell you?
Yeah,
it's very disturbing.
Because, and I'm not the first person to bring this up. If there was some sort of imminent threat from McDonald, it would have been a lot more than Van Dyke that drew their weapons, correct?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. If that had been a gun in McDonald's hands, we would be having a totally different conversation. Because when you have a weapon like that, and if you're threatening people, you've been acting erratically, and you're moving off toward other people, and
right.
You've got a gun,
right?
They have a duty to control that person, and if they take measures to try to do it and they can't. This is a little off topic, but did you happen to see the video on the news last night of the knife-wielding terrorist in the London Underground?
I did.
You watch that, and the guy is like slashing at people.
I did.
And the cops come on the scene, and they don't open fire on him. Maybe
right.
The Bobbies carry guns yet?
They bring him to the ground. They kick the weapon away from him.
They had a taser.
Well, yeah, they tased him first, but then once he was on the ground and his weapon was loose, the
yeah.
knife was loose, one of the officers came by and kicked it away very quickly. It seemed to be by the book,
yeah,
from everything we saw.
That's the way you handle it. So in any case, it's there's also something called the 21-foot rule, which is not actually a rule, but it's kind of a guideline that police officers have. It's based on some research that's done that shows that if you are within 21 feet of someone who has a knife
mm-hmm.
and your gun is in your holster,
mm-hmm.
that is the perimeter. The 21 feet is about the distance where you can safely defend yourself if that person makes a charge at you, that you should be able to get your gun out and shoot them. If they're inside 21 feet and they're menacing you, you have every right, every duty almost to use deadly force against them. Now, McDonald was probably about 15 to 20 feet away, but he was not menacing the officer. He was going the other direction, and the officer had his gun out, which shortens that 21-foot perimeter. So this is what the trial is going to look like. We can already tell what the trial is going to be, which is that Officer Van Dyke's defenders or his defense team is going to say that he was not necessarily in fear of his life at that time, but he was in fear of the lives of innocent bystanders
right.
who aren't in the video screen, but who might have been victimized by this guy who was out of control and had a knife. That's going to be his defense.
Mm-hmm. Eric Zorn is here, the irreplaceable Eric Zorn. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, you can call in or text in. Back with more in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff on WGN. It's Bill Leff with you. Wendy Snyder has the day off. Eric Zorn is in studio with me from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, before you and I talk, though, I want to throw it back to Kim Gordon in the newsroom for just a second or two. Kim, you've been monitoring the Anita Alvarez press conference. They have showed the video so far, correct?
They have just finished showing the video. Actually, CLTV decided not to show the video on TV because they hadn't seen it first, but they have shown the video. There was no audio again on that videotape, but they put police calls over the videos to kind of coincide with what was happening at the time with the police call. But now they're going over the weapon and they're giving details about the weapon. So we still don't know yet at this point, Bill, whether the officer will be charged or not.
All right. Keep your ear to it. Eric, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Is there a sense, Kim, that they think something wrong happened here? Does it seem to be defending the officers? We're watching the video.
No, it doesn't appear that they're defending him. It just appears that they are being so detailed that they're just not leaving any stone unturned and want to give every single possible detail there is to let the public know exactly how this all happened and what transpired.
I'm just looking at my Twitter feed. Marianne Ahern is reporting that the chief of detectives in Chicago.
Actually, she just said there will be no criminal charges.
She did.
She did. She just said it. Just this very second.
Okay.
All right. Very interesting.
I'm just saying that NBC5 is reporting that the Chicago Police Department's chief of detectives resigned from his post Monday. So this just happened. Constantine Dean Andrews.
This story
is like developing as we're sitting here
right,
talking.
Right, right.
So no charges are going to be filed. Anita Alvarez has
no charges. And they say they just could not determine beyond a reasonable doubt that, basically there was any findings that would charge the that would for a need to charge
well,
the officer.
You know, we haven't seen. I mean, we've only seen here that and just in the background. We've been watching the monitors a little bit, and we didn't see they're picking a part of the video. I'm just wondering how this is going to play in the public, whether this looks like a justified shooting to the layperson, and whether this is going to be cause for more dismay.
Right? Is it adding more fuel to the fire? That's the only thing. The timing of it is just.
It's really
it's
bad.
Hard. It's tough.
It's bad for everybody.
It is.
It's bad for the police. It's bad for the citizens. It's certainly bad for Anita Alvarez. So,
well, Kim, thanks again. Keep an ear to it, and if something does happen, just break in. It's so hard. This is the second video that we've now watched in 2 or 3 weeks with a guy getting killed, and it's so hard to watch a human being get gunned down, isn't it? I mean, you can see it in movies and television shows, and in your head you say to yourself, well, it's an actor pretending to be shot. When it's real, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, it's very powerful, very moving. And, you know, you wonder, this case, I mean, like I said, you and I have seen this just a couple of times here on these little tiny TV screens in the background of the studio, so I'm not prepared to make any judgments about
right.
it at all. But obviously everyone's going to be studying this video in the next couple of days, and you're going to hear from a lot of the people on all sides of this about whether this was justified and what it all means. So this is going to be the story. It's been the story of the last 2 weeks. It's going to be the story of the week this week, too. So it's really something else.
So true. Eric, there was so much that we wanted to get to today, but because of the breaking news, we kind of sidetracked. We'll talk to you in the next couple of weeks, certainly.
Absolutely. Talk to
you
soon. Bye.
It's Eric Zorn, the irreplaceable Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. Read him whenever you get a chance. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll find out what Steve Bertrand has planned for you on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff on WGN.